Ambitious Women. You are in for an incredible treat today. I had the opportunity to meet Pasha Carter briefly at the Association of Network Marketing Professionals event this summer. She has an amazing history in our industry, and she's been a network marketing professional for over 20 years now. Pasha, you may not want me telling all that, right? That's how I feel sometimes.
You know.
When I say to people, oh, I've been doing this for this long, I'm like, oh, maybe I don't need to say that.
Exactly. And the time flies.
It does fly, doesn't it? But that means that you're really committed to our industry and you have a lot of great insights to offer the women who are going to be listening in on the call. So I just want to thank you for being willing to invest your time into growing women. I know that you're all about teaching leadership and empowering women, and I think that's why you're such a great fit as part of the wonderful team here at the Ambitious Women Success Club. So thank you for your time today.
Oh, it's my pleasure. I'm excited to be here.
All right. So let me ask you, Pasha, why don't you start off by just sharing a bit of your story, your background, how you got where you are today with the ladies.
Well, you know, my story is quite interesting. I actually got started when I was 23 years old, and I was living in Atlanta, Georgia at the time. I moved there from Alabama, which is where I'm originally from. And I was at a point in my life, I was working two jobs. I was working at Emory University, and I was also a gymnastics coach in the evenings. And so I had these two jobs, and I was at the point where I had no time, no money, and I was just miserable, to say the least. And I was invited out to a presentation, but the crazy thing is the person who invited me out, it was like the 15th time he'd invited me out to something, because he was one of those people where, love him as I do, he'd done a lot of businesses. So I went out with one of those attitudes where it was like, okay, I'm just going to go out just kind of so he can stop calling me. And for the first time, I walked in. It was a noon meeting. I'll never forget, in the middle of the day. And there was a gentleman in front of the room. Now, I was 23 at the time, and the gentleman doing the presentation was 26. So we weren't that far apart in age. But the difference was he was making more money in 1 month than I was making all year long working for a living. And he looked happy. And I was miserable. So I really said to myself, okay, maybe I should really just kind of bring the guard down and listen to what he has to say. And he started talking about passive income and entrepreneurship and owning your own time, owning your own business. And it started to really resonate with me. And, you know, of course, at that time, I didn't have any money. I was, you know, working two jobs, sleeping on the floor of my best friend's one-bedroom apartment. So, but I still was at the point where I was like, okay, if this can work, like if I can get this a small piece of what he's done, it would be amazing for me. So that day was when my entrepreneur light went off, and I said to myself, okay, in order for me to have more, I've got to step up and become more. And so I started really growing as a person. I started reading books and really saying, okay, how do I figure this entrepreneur thing out? And that's 23. And I got started, and 2 years later, at 25, I started having a little success. You know, I was on the roller coaster where you have a little success, and then, you go down to the dump. Then you have a little more success. So I was riding the entrepreneur roller coaster for a while. But the blessing was, by the time I hit 29, I was making six figures from home. And it was simply because I was one of those people where, even though I may not have had a lot of the contacts and everything that a lot of other people had, I was a hard worker, and I was always at the meetings. I was always showing up, and I was very coachable. So I'm 29 years old. I started making six figures from home. I said, wow, you know, this direct sales thing kind of works here. I like this, you know. And in my 30s, my husband and I, that's when we were blessed to start earning millions. And since then, we've gone on to earn well over $10 million in direct sales. And it's been a blessing. It's been a phenomenal journey. But what I love most is how many other people we've helped earn six and seven figures. And for those who didn't want to earn six and seven figures, for those we've helped just earn an extra $3,000 to $4,000 a month to supplement what they're doing. So it's been an amazing journey.
Wow, I just love that, Pasha. So even just in your story, I'm taking notes over here. What can we learn from it? Well, keep asking, because that person had asked you to 15 different things. Even if he'd asked you 15 different times to the same presentation, right? You finally were in the place in your life where you went.
Exactly.
And then you talked about growing as a person. I think, you know, it's so important that we grow every day. I don't know about you. I like to watch TED Talks. I read books. You know, I listen to podcasts because you never know that one little piece of information that's really going to help you. And the other thing you said, that you were a hard worker and you were coachable. You know, I just want to remind the ladies, no matter whether you're in a product business or a service business, be coachable. Don't try to invent the wheel. Don't think you know better, because there are people who've gone before you. Find the people that are making the money that you want to make and model after them. Right, Pasha?
Absolutely. As a matter of fact, I always tell anybody that I'm working with, if being who you are would get you what you want, you'd already have it. So we've got to all be able to look in the mirror and say, how can I become better? You know, I tell my kids that every single day, when you wake up and God blesses you with another day, you've got another 24 hours. My question is, what are you going to do with it? At the end of this 24 hours, are you going to know something new? Have you learned something new that's going to take you to another level? And if we're not growing, it's like our mind is like a garden. And we start allowing those weeds to come in. And if you're not careful, those weeds will overtake your garden much faster than all the beautiful flowers that you have. So you have to be a gatekeeper of your mind, but always you have to be putting new great stuff in there, planting new seeds that's going to help develop you into a new businesswoman, and learn those little tips, because it's not the big things, it's the small things that you learn on a daily basis that make the big difference in your life and your business.
That's so good. I love it. So, Pasha, let's go on and start talking about our topic for today, which is going from the planner to producer, right? Those time management tips you have to help everybody build the business that they really want. So what's the difference between a planner and a producer, since you use those words in the title?
Yes. Well, you know, here's what I found. And the reason why I love this topic is because what a lot of people don't know is most of the stuff that I train is based on what I've done and what I haven't done. I said, you know, a lot of times I know people, they'll go get a book and they'll learn something from a book and train from a book. I train from, you know, real concept of where I have been. And I remember when I first got in network marketing, I was the ultimate planner. And it was because I was afraid to produce. So I would sit around and I would want to know everything. And women, we have a tendency of doing this more so than men. Why? Because we are more of perfectionists. We want everything to be right. So I wanted to know everything about every service. I wanted to make sure that I knew every script. I wanted to make sure that my list was not just written, but it was alphabetized. And it was, you know, and I was very busy. And that's the scary thing. The scary thing is you go through your day and you're busy. And in your mind, you're working and you're working hard. True enough, but all you're doing is planning. You're not doing anything productive. And when I started to realize that every day is about how you use your time. We got 24 hours in a day. That's 1,440 minutes every single day. That's 43,200 minutes every single month. So when you take a look at that, what are we doing every minute? What are we doing every single day? Because that determines what your week is going to be like. That determines what your month is going to be like. And then that determines what your year is going to be like. So we can't think that those five-minute intervals where we're interrupted don't make a difference, because they add up in the long run. So the planner is the person who they're consistently doing the things that keep them busy, but they're not productive. And that's what we call easy busy work. And the sad thing about easy busy work is it keeps you very busy. It gets you just as tired as productive work. But here's what it doesn't lead to. It doesn't lead to anyone new joining your business. It doesn't lead to any more customers signing up for your service or your product. And it doesn't lead to a check coming in to your direct deposit or your mailbox anytime in the near future. But you're just as tired and just as busy.
Wow. It's so true, right? So what do you do?
One
thing that I talk about is you can't find time or create time. You have to make time. And so I love the way you said that about all the minutes, right? You have to make time in those five-minute pockets. So what do you do, Pasha, to avoid those distractions, to avoid the interruptions? Is there a way you set boundaries with certain people, or are there certain habits you have in your day that help you with those?
Yeah, you know what I do is many, many years ago, and this is one of the things that I really want the women to hear, when you invest in yourself, that's why I absolutely am so excited about Ambitious Women's Success Club, because women get to come, we get to have conversations, let your guard down and learn, and in a safe space. And for me, that's what it took. It took me being able to invest and say, you know, personal development is an investment. You know, I remember when I first got in and I was invited, it was a Tony Robbins event that was coming into my town, and it was thousands of dollars. And now, mind you, I wasn't making a whole lot of money, so that was a lot for me. You know, that was almost my entire month's salary at that time that I was making. But I scraped up the money and I went to this event. My friends were like, what are you doing? You're spending all your money. And they said spending. You know, you're wasting all your money. You're spending all your money going to one of those things and da-da-da-da-da-da. And I remember going in thinking, what if they're right? You know, what if I'm just wasting my time? But something in me said, you know what, do it. And when I got there and I started, that was my first journey into this thing called personal growth and development. I started to learn that it's the most important investment that we can make. And when I started doing that, I went to an event, and it was a Brian Tracy event years ago. And it started talking about how to prioritize and really putting your life in different quadrants. And I never thought of this concept because every day, you know, I'd get up and I'd write a little to-do list. And hopefully, you know, by the end of the day, I check that to-do list off. But in this event, I said, I learned, you know, how to prioritize my life. And I was taught, and here's what I want everybody to get. You got four quadrants, and I want you to imagine this. You got things that are urgent and important. That means you need to do them, and they're important, and you need to do them now. But then you have things that are important, but they're not necessarily urgent. So they're important, but you might not need to do it right now. Then you have those things that are urgent, but they're just not important. And then you have the things that are neither. They're not urgent and they're not important. Now, when you look at all of the things that you're writing down, if you can figure out how to categorize them and live in the first quadrant and spend 80% of your time there with the things that are urgent and important, and if you're in direct sales, if you're in network marketing, what are those things that are urgent and important? Well, signing up a brand new business partner or a customer, going out there and recruiting and finding brand new business partners and making friends, following up and closing. You know, there's so many of us that may have someone that a week ago or a month ago you sent them some information and you haven't followed up with them. And I always say the fortune is in the follow-up, following up and getting in touch with those people, launching and enrolling those brand new people that have just gotten started in your business, whether they're direct to you or they fall on your fifth level or your 15th level, someone properly launching them and enrolling them. You know, and these are the things that lead to business growth and development in your business. And when you become a network marketer, what you have to realize is you've got to look at what's going to build your team. The way that we went from zero, where it was just no one in our group, to over 100,000 people is just by following these simple steps and saying, what are we doing every single day to make sure that we're adding to the bottom line? Now, the thing is, a lot of people can roll over into quadrant two, which is the things that are important, but they're just not urgent. And this is where you're preparing and planning. This is where you're working, you're at your desk and you're doing all the, you're making flyers, you know, you're now become a graphic designer. You know, you're doing all the things that look good, sound good, but they're not making us money. You're going through the back office and looking at who's where, or you're organizing the people who are in different positions in your group. But all of this stuff you're doing, but it's not adding to your bottom line. Now, the things that are in quadrant three that may be urgent, but they're just not important. And this is where it comes to the squeaky wheel syndrome. You're going to find a lot of people in your business that are going to make a lot of noise. The squeaky wheel always makes the most noise. And the problem is we pay the squeaky wheel more attention than the three that are running properly a lot of times. So the things that may be, you know, urgent but not important is handling issues in politics. The person who calls you and they're upset because rep services, their customer didn't go through, or their this didn't happen, and they're ready to quit. And a lot of times we will spend more time trying to stop the loud wheel from quitting than investing time with the person who's running and ready to win. And when I see that, it just saddens me, because that was me years ago. That was me. I remember chasing down. I didn't want anybody to quit my business, and I would chase these people down, and I would call and motivate and try to fix all their problems. And what I came to realize is every time I would fix one problem, 2 hours later, they call me with a new one. Then I fix that one. Three. So it puts you on this train that you don't want to get on, and it's a never-ending train, because these are the people that are always going to have the issues. And the last one is things that are just not urgent, and nor are they important. That's quadrant number 4. And, you know, those are things that, you know, are just the idle time things that we do. You know, the person from work that wants to call you to update you on what happened today, or, you know, idle TV watching. You know, I call it, you know, the some people spend 2 hours a day watching television. If we took an hour of that time to feed our brain something positive and something that's going to help us grow, or doing something in quadrant 1, imagine what your business would be like. So when I started to divide my life up and my business up into those 4 quadrants, that's when I started to see my business turn around, and it was absolutely amazing.
Pasha, I love that. And as people probably know, if they want to look at it more, I love your brief overview. That's amazing. That's part of the 7 Habits of Highly Effective People by Stephen Covey. And what I learned from it is, don't let other people's urgency become your urgency, right? That one where you're
Absolutely.
Talking about the squeaky wheel people, you know, and if you fix it for them again and again, they're going to keep coming back, right? So we have to be,
Absolutely.
You know, they get so intense with us that we think that, oh, it's so urgent, that maybe it's urgent to them, but it's not urgent for me. So that's something that
Absolutely.
I bring away from that helps me so much. And sometimes you have to re-remind yourself, right? Even if you've been in business
Yes.
for a long time and built a large business, sometimes we still fall back into those habits. So we have to be working on the things that are important. And I love it when you're planning well enough that you're working on the things that are important but not urgent, right? You're doing them, the
right.
things in the right timing, so you don't feel this sense of desperation or pressure all the time, too.
Yep.
Such an amazing
exactly.
place to be.
Absolutely.
Gosh, I just love the way that you summarize that for us. So let me ask you this. Are women in general more prone to be planners or producers? And why do you think
well,
that
you know,
might
the
be?
Interesting, the interesting thing that I found with working with women is, let me tell you what I love about working with women. We are good at a lot of things. And the good thing about that is that we're good at a lot of things. The challenging thing about that is, because we're good at a lot of things, we want to do all those things at the same time. And what will start to happen is we will brag on being multitaskers. We'll brag on, you know, the fact that we feel we can do everything, and not realize that if we don't have that zoned in power of focus where we figure out what we need to do to move our needle, then what happens is we become mediocre at a lot of things that in our mind we think we're good at. So when it comes to planner versus producer, because women, we're natural planners because we run our households, we run our business, so we have to plan. You know, I'm sure there are many women on this call that if they have children, they probably have everything planned out for their kids, everything planned out for the day, the meals planned out, the this planned out. And so a lot of times we'll bring that into our business and we'll start planning because that's what we're used to doing. And we'll want to perfect it because that's what we're used to doing. We want to get everything right. Not only do we want to plan it, but we want to make sure that it's done right. Well, in business, a lot of times what we've got to realize is when you're new to business, you've got to understand that a lot of the success comes in the doing. And even if you may not do it perfectly, just the fact that you're doing it, you're learning in the failure. And most women don't want to fail. We don't want to listen to the failure way forward and all that kind of stuff, and oh, it's okay to make mistakes. But when we're in it, we don't enjoy that process. And I get it, you know, because I used to do trainings where I used to try to get women to enjoy and embrace the failure, and I realized nobody likes to fail. So, you know, we've just got to understand that it's a part of it. And if you understand that the more no's that you get in your business, the more people that tell you no, it's leading to a yes. And you understand your batting average is what I like to say. You know, it's like no matter how great you are, the best batter in the world misses 6 out of 10 times. And they're the greatest in the world. So what makes us think that every person we talk to, that they should be our customer or they should be interested in our business? So if I can show a woman how to find her batting average and to say, hey, listen, maybe your batting average is 1 out of every 15 people that you talk to may be interested in your business. So now she won't get so wrapped up in the 14 no's because she knows that it's going to lead to that yes. Some women, it may be 1 out of 30, and that's okay. But you've got to know whatever. Someone, it may be 1 out of 10. But until you go through the numbers, you won't be able to find out what your batting average is. And my whole focus is with women is to stop planning and start doing the things that are going to help you produce. And that is talking to people, building your business, getting the customers and, you know, doing the sampling and going through the no's and understanding that failure is a part of success. And, you know, that's something that not only do I teach my team, but every single day I'm teaching my kids that, you know, guys, if you go through a whole day and you hadn't made one mistake, that was a terrible day. You need a do-over, you know, because life is about understanding that the more mistakes you make, you're going to grow through them, and you look at them as learning experiences. What did I learn from that? And understanding that you've got to embrace that.
So true. Failure is not the opposite of success at all, which is what we're taught to think. It is part of it. You have to fail till you get
Absolutely.
There. I mean, just it's amazing. But I want to ask you a little bit more about something you said, Pasha, and that was that you figure out what the batting average is. You know, I'm a tennis player, so I happen to know that all it's Wimbledon right now, right? And all these Grand Slam champions.
Serena.
You know, Serena, she won beautifully today. And so they only win 60 to 65% of the points, but they're still the Grand Slam champions, the number ones, twos, and threes in the world. That means they miss 35% of the time. So how do you teach people to track? Because I think people go out there and they do so much and they think they're doing so much, but they don't really track, you know, sampling is working or inviting X number of people to a meeting is working or having a webinar is working. They don't really know what's working. Any sage advice from your experience to help people realize how to track and figure out what is working and what they should do more of?
Yes. And, you know, it's called one of the things that I've realized in the world that we're in today is a lot of people are scattered. And because we have so many different ways of doing things now with the invention of the internet and all these things that we can do online and all these different ways of building, there are new methodologies. You know, when we first got in, it was very simple. It was a simple format. Now when you get into a lot of direct sales companies, what starts to happen is the person or your company will teach you one thing, but we'll have this great idea and say, well, no, I'm going to do it this way because I feel like I'm the online expert, or I'm the this expert, or I'm the that expert, and sometimes someone can find success in doing things different. But I always say, if you have a system that's working in your company, follow the system and master the system. So if your system is sample first, if your system is lead with the opportunity, if your system is lead with the business launch, home meeting, whatever it is, master that and look at the numbers for that, whether it's getting people on the webinar or getting them to the Tuesday night meeting, whichever one it is, or if it's both, you know. But here's what you do. What you have to do is get out, either find a program that you can have on your phone, or if you like, some people still like to write, you know, things down in a planner. But what you have to do is track yourself. You know, my husband is Steve Carter, and he is what I consider the master at creating systems and being able to track everything that he does. You know, he'll look at his pipeline is what we always call it. And his whole thing is, I have 97 people in my pipeline right now that are going through the pipeline. So they may be on, and he takes them through bases, like just like baseball. They're on first base or second base. And first base may be, he just sent them an email asking them if they're interested in making some more money, or an email if they're interested in, you know, better health and what are they looking for if you're in a health company or if you're in a service company, saving money on your energy or whatever. So they're on first base. Then the second base is they're looking at some kind of presentation, whether it's a webinar, whether it's a physical meeting. That's second base. And then his whole goal is to get them from second base to third base because now they've seen the meeting, and now here comes the follow-up. So, but the question is, and the challenge is, most people, they only have five or six people in their funnel. And if you imagine a big funnel, I want you to imagine this. Imagine a big funnel, and you put five people in the funnel. Well, if you put five people in the funnel, and you got that little bitty hole in the bottom, how many do you think are going to come out the bottom? And if they do, how long is it going to take? And then I want you to imagine that same funnel. And I want you to imagine somebody consistently putting five people a day, three people a day into that same funnel to where eventually that funnel has 50, that funnel has 100 people. Well, just imagine what's going to start falling out of the bottom of that funnel. Instead of one person every 6 months, you're going to have a person a week or two people a week that are going to be coming out the bottom of that funnel that are going to be getting started in your business. But the problem is most of us, we get so caught up in the five people that we have and consistently, you know, following up with them. And I almost consider it to the point where getting emotionally wrapped up in what they do. Don't get caught up in whether the person is getting in or out. All you want to do is feed the funnel. Because you can't say the wrong thing to the right person, and you can't say the right thing to the wrong person. So even if you have mastered the script and you are the best in your company, if that's the wrong person for your business, I don't care how right you say it, they're still not going to get in. So therefore, it's a numbers game, and it goes back to it. And as long as you have the person who has the biggest numbers and they're going through the numbers every single day, those are the and they can teach their team how to duplicate that, those are the people that win in direct sales. And I'll tell you another thing that it does. It brings down the emotions. It brings down the feeling of, oh, my goodness, is this working? Because you're so busy because you got so many people in the funnel. If you have 97 people in the funnel and you've got 40 people that aren't interested, you're not worried about those 40 people that aren't interested because you got so many more that are. But when you just have five people in the funnel, you let four of them, just four not be interested, then the person gets sad and they feel like they're not succeeding. And it's because they're focused. They only have one person that's interested because they've only talked to five. Hmm. Does that make sense to you?
Oh, it makes total sense. We have to track. And I love the, you know, the analogy of using they're on first base, second base, third base, then maybe, and then they're home. They're either home, no, they're not for your business, or they're home, they're joining your team. So whatever the
Absolutely.
Steps are, you know, everybody needs to decide what are your steps for inviting, what are your steps for them watching. And I think sometimes we make it way too hard and we want to have 12 steps. Four steps is perfect. You know, invite, show,
yep.
follow up. And maybe you're in follow-up for a little while because sometimes we have to follow up a few times or answer a few different questions. But then we ultimately get them out of maybe I'm not sure to yes or no. And,
Absolutely.
You know, I don't know about you, Pasha, but I just want to remind these ambitious women, if they are wavering and saying no, it's just no, not now. But don't try to pressure them or don't try to convince them that they should join now, because I think they become those people in the squeaky wheel box that you were talking about before, right? They're the people that are going
right.
to take all of your time, and they're not the ones that are really ready to move forward.
Absolutely. And then another thing that I always say is enjoy the process. Smile while you build your business. I think so often we get so caught up in the wanting it to work so bad that we turn a beautiful profession, like, I mean, think about how amazing network marketing is. You set your own hours. You're able to now incorporate the efforts of other people where you can build a team of 10, 100, or 100,000. And every time they do something, you're getting a small percentage of that and creating this amazing thing called residual income for yourself. But the problem is so many times I see people quit right before they're about to succeed. And it's simply because they're getting so emotionally wrapped up in what's not going on. You know, instead of focusing on the few people that quit, focus on the one that stayed. And you can work with that one that's excited, and you can turn that one and turn that one into 10, that 10 into 20, that 20 into 200, and before you know it, you have a huge team growing. But one of the things that I learned, the best piece of advice that I got from my mentor years ago, he said, Pastor, you have got to work where you're deserved and not where you're needed. And good. I remember when he said that, I kind of stepped back and I said, okay, now I hear what you're saying, but I got to work where I need it because they need me. You know, they're calling me. They're telling me they need me to fly to their city because they don't have anything going on. So if I don't go support them, then they're going to quit. And or if I don't handle this issue, who's going to handle it? And I remember almost kind of battling with my mentor and saying, in disagreement with him. And when I stepped back and I realized how he was happy and he was smiling and he was making all this money and he was working with the people who wanted to succeed, he would spend time with the person that a lot of us ignore. A lot of times I've seen this happen. You'll have two people that are producing without you, independent of you. You pull your genealogy or your hierarchy and you see they have 10 brand new people that just got started. You know, they're doing their own meetings. So a lot of times we'll say, well, you know what, they're independent. I can focus on all the people who aren't doing anything because they are doing something. And I'm telling you that that is the biggest mistake that most people make in network marketing. When you have that person who's ready to build and they're running, if you give the people who deserve your attention more of your attention, you'll be able to take that 10 that's coming in weekly and help them turn that into 100 because they have that natural desire. You don't have to motivate them to get to the trainings. You don't have to call them 10 times to get on the conference call. Why? Because they want it for themselves. And when you find those kind of people, it's like you found your pearl in the oyster. And you can't ignore the pearls and get focused on all of the people that you feel need you because they're about to quit if something doesn't turn around in their business. And you're over there working with all of the people who are not really wanting it. They're just complaining. And that's a hard reality to swallow. But I tell you, when I shifted my focus and I started working with the people who really wanted this, I really understood that in network marketing, you know how we talk about the 80-20 rule? In network marketing, it's more like 95-5. If you work with the top 5%, they'll reward 95% of your production.
Wow, I love that. So, I mean, that's a habit. I think that's a ritual we're going to have to work on is that really, you know, I tell my team to, you know, my efforts will match your efforts. But sometimes I still, those needy yes. people are there and you like them as a person and you want to go help. But the truth is, if someone says, you know, they think they're going to quit, that's going to be a mantra for the rest of their life, right? I mean, they're going to be
yes.
saying that the whole time. So when you see somebody that you maybe even don't know personally yet that's on your team and they're doing, you know, they're putting in those people, you call them, you offer to help, as you just make an introduction. What's the first step for that? So the ladies feel really confident when they make that shift.
When you say when they make the shift, when they're calling.
Well, when they make the shift of thinking like you, you know, thinking like you're thinking about working with the people that deserve your time. And so maybe they're going to call some people down in their team, down in their genealogy that maybe they don't even really know that well yet. They're doing a lot of production.
Absolutely.
What do you say when you make that phone call?
Here is what I always say, and it works for me because this is what motivates me. I'm no longer I have my own goals, but what motivates me more than anything are the individuals on my team's goals. So if you right now have that person and you're looking and you're saying, wow, this person really wants it, pick up the phone and give that person a call and say, hey, listen, say that person's name is Gina. You know, hey, listen, Gina, this is Pasha. I see that you are independently making things happen. You are rocking. And I wanted to just call, number one, to introduce myself to you and just find out what are your goals. You know, I see right now that you're bringing in some numbers, and what's your 90-day goals? Find out what Gina's 90-day goals are, what her 3 to 5 year goals are. Help her set those goals and say, well, listen, here's what we're going to do. Because I see that you're serious, you know, I don't personally call everyone, but I'm going to get in there with you, and we're going to take this 10, and I'm going to help you turn this 10 into 20, and eventually this 20 into 200, and we're going to build a dynasty together because I see that you're serious, and we halfway, and you give me 100%, I promise I'm going to give you 100% back. And see, now what happens to Gina is Gina has already been naturally doing this and maybe not even knowing what she's doing, but now that she has that upline support and someone who she feels that she can learn from and grow with and run with, you're going to be able to pull so much greatness out of her. And once you find out what her goals are, I'll always ask people, do you only have your goals posted or do you have your 5% goals posted? If you don't have your top 5%, if you don't know what their goals are, you're in the wrong business because every single day when you wake up, your goal needs to be to help them achieve their goals. And if you can start to focus on your team's goals, your leader's goals versus yours, or your leader's paychecks versus your paychecks, your leader's growth of their group versus the growth of your group, here's what happens. If you focus on them winning, then you win by default because they're in your organization. And that is what differentiates the professional networker from the amateur networker, is where we spend our time and how we're able to extract success from a person who was already having a little success and take that person and help them have massive success. And that person will now become a lifer. They will be ready to do life with you because now you have latched on with them and given them everything they need. And before you know it, they will be the person walking the stage at the conventions. They'll be the person that, you know, takes a group, and now they have tens of thousands of people in their organization simply because you paid attention to them and you spent some time with them and helped them grow.
Wow, that is outstanding advice. Building those leaders. And I love switching from the 80-20 rule to the 5%. What are those? Who are those 5%? And how can you align yourself with them to really run together? You know, you said we can do this together. And I think sometimes that is the thing, that people feel like they're maybe a little bit on an island. They got started, but what they want, maybe the person that brought them in doesn't have what they really want, right? What their dreams are. And
right. They're
doing this thing because they're excited and they're driven, but they don't have as much guidance. So being the leader means reaching out, finding those people, and having those great conversations. Thank you for those words. So, ladies,
oh, you're,
you know,
welcome. You know, my husband, I was going to say, my husband always said in network marketing, frustration is self-inflicted. So the only time that we get frustrated in network marketing is when you're working with the wrong people. When you're working with the right people, it's the most fun thing that you'll ever do. The only time that we get frustrated is when we're trying to drag someone someplace that they don't want to go. You just got to find the one. I always tell people, go find some thirsty horses. You know, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make them drink. So a lot of us have horses, and we're leading them to the water, and we're trying to put their heads down and say, drink the water, drink the water. Well, all you have to do is go find thirsty horses, and guess what? You don't have to force them to drink because they're already thirsty.
That's so smart. And we tell people, if you don't think, you know, if you're maybe your team's small and you're newer, if you don't have those people yet, then keep personally sponsoring. Get out there and meet those people till you get a thirsty horse.
Absolutely. And then you have to become who you want to recruit. That's another thing. A lot of times what we have to realize is we're attracting who we are, and that's where we go back. Where we were talking about earlier, Alice, about personal development and personal growth, and who are you? Who are you becoming every single day? And once you start to grow, and now you're doing the things that, because a lot of times we want to recruit this superstar, but we're not willing to become the superstar that we want to recruit. We want somebody who's going to go to all of the conventions, but yet we're not going. We want someone who's going to be on the calls, but yet we're not on the calls. We want someone who is going to come in, and they're going to produce, and they're going to do what it takes, but yet we're not doing it. Well, I had to become the person that I wanted to recruit. If I wanted to recruit superstars, guess what? I needed to become a superstar in my company. And that is where a lot of us have to realize every single day, no matter where you are, whether it's your first day, first month, first year, it doesn't matter. Every day you can start over. That's the beauty of being in business for yourself. The only person who can fire you is you, and you can always give yourself a second chance. So when you look in the mirror and you say to yourself, wow, what are the things that I need to strengthen? You know, what are the things that I can work on? Where do my strengths lie, and how can I make those strengths even greater? And what starts to happen is you become like this magnet when you walk out of your house, where you start to attract people that you would have never thought that you would attract. And it's simply because you're waking up in the morning and you're feeding yourself the right stuff mentally. You're growing. You're doing things you would have never done. And what starts to happen is you start to attract people just like you into your life and into your business.
Wow, that's great. You know, it's almost what people say, you know, you can tell your kids, do as I say, not as I do, but they're going to do what you do, right? It's the same
yes,
thing with
absolutely.
Your team. They're going to do what you do. So you have to become that person and then do the things that you want them to do. Otherwise,
yes,
you're just, you're playing at being a leader. You're not really a leader. So
absolutely.
Pasha,
absolutely.
I'm going to ask you something. I want to remind the ladies, if anybody has a question, feel free to press *2 to raise your hand, because we're getting close to wrapping up our time with Pasha, but I don't want anybody that has a question to miss out. So this is more of a personal interest thing, and you're always so great you were great to share those things with us. So, Pasha, what was it like to meet Oprah, the person that you said if you could meet anybody, you wanted to meet them? And why did you want to meet her, and what did you learn from meeting her?
Well, I tell you what, it was an absolute honor to meet her. And I actually, believe it or not, when I lived in Chicago, my husband and I, hold on, you need me, honey? Yes, can you wait till I get off the call? Okay, thanks. I'm sorry. So anyway, we worked out in the same gym with her in Chicago. So I got a chance to meet her there, and then also I got an opportunity. Every year we do a friends trip, me and about four of my best friends, where we do a girls trip, and we would go to the OU event. And it was an event where it was just a big leadership weekend, and it would be Oprah Winfrey and Susie Orman and Dr. Oz and, you know, Dr. Phil. And it was just like the all-star studded cast for leadership. And we would just be there for an entire weekend. And it was just amazing. She's very down to earth. And what I love most about her is, even though she's had this massive success, she's a normal person and she does not act that way. And I learned a lot from that, because I've seen in our profession of network marketing sometimes that a person can become big in their bubble. And I've seen leaders in companies where they'll walk through the convention and, you know, someone may want to take a picture with them, and because they have to get to a training, they don't stop and take that time to just take a picture or give a kind word. And my husband and I, one of the things that we focus on is every time someone stops us, it does not matter, you know, where we're going or what we have to do, we're going to give them our undivided attention. We're going to love on them. We're going to, you know, show them the respect that they deserve, because these are people that we have to understand as leaders in direct sales. Our duty and our responsibility is, when you have those new people that are excited about this thing called network marketing, they're feeding off of us. So in their eyes, when they come to our conventions, we are their Michael Jordan. We are their Oprah Winfrey. And when we walk by and we don't show them that love and that support and that attention, a lot of times that can really, really sting a person. And so when any company that I'm a part of, I'm always talking to the leadership about understanding that we've got to humble ourselves, because it's not about where we are, it's about who we are. So the money and the titles, that means nothing. People want to know who you really are. And I can tell you that from spending time and meeting Oprah, she is really who she appears to be on television. She is a loving and kind person, and her whole focus is, how can I make the world a better place? And I love that.
Oh, what a great lesson, right? I mean, so many lessons. We see celebrities, right, that we think of, you know, they're so different from us, but the truth is there's an amazing lesson in something you've been practicing. One of the things I love about Oprah is something that we've already talked about on this call, and that is she believes she can continue to grow and learn new things all the time, and she's hungry for it, and then she's hungry to share it.
Absolutely.
And so I think that's something I love to tell the women is once you learn something new, share it with someone else. Right? You get an insider from your personal development. When you start sharing it with others, when you become the teacher, you're really even ingraining that new concept in yourself even more. So, Madison, do we have any questions? We probably have time for one or two if we have them.
Yes, ma'am, we absolutely do. So our I will just jump right in. Our first question is comes from caller with last four digits. 6125, caller 6125, you have the floor. What's your question?
Hey, well, first of all, I want to say thank you so much, Tasha. This has been just awesome. I really thank you.
Oh, thank you.
I had an opportunity to be at ANMP this year. I don't know what made me go, and I'm very new. I'm just like 2 years into the business, and it just changed my direction, and everybody was so willing and to talk and embrace everybody. You mentioned the four quadrants. First of all, I want to let you know, I want you to repeat them, but I have decided that I'm living in the first one. So when you talked about the other ones, it was like, okay. So would you repeat the four quadrants for me, please? That would be so good.
Absolutely. I sure will. Quadrant number one is urgent and important. These are the things that need to be done right now, and they're important. The second quadrant is things that are important, but then just not urgent. They're not urgent. They don't need to be done. They may be important, and, it's important to have a nice flyer, but it's not urgent to be able to get to your bottom line. So those are things that are important, but they're just not urgent. Quadrant number three is urgent but not important. And this is where it's more like, you got the squeaky wheel where it's like the customer service, the customer didn't go through, and it seems like it's really urgent, but it's just not important right now for you to get to your bottom line. And quadrant number four is neither urgent nor important. And these are the things where it's the idle chatter syndrome is what I call it, where sometimes I've told people that even in your network marketing company, you've got to ask yourself and look at your circle. Is your circle the kind of circle that's living in the future? Are they talking about growth, or are they the circle that's complaining? And a lot of times the circle that we're in can be our worst enemy. And I tell people all the time, if you're at a certain position in your company, start hanging out and spending time with people who are at the position that you strive to get to, versus just everybody that's at your position. And the people that are at your position in your company that you're spending that quality time with, you have to ask yourself, what are their conversations like? Are they always complaining and the one that's finding something wrong? Are they the ones that are looking through the muddy waters to find what's right? And when you can find that kind of circle, the kind of circle that's pushing you and motivating you, then you'll start to see your growth in network marketing and just in life pick up and go a lot faster.
Well, I want to thank you so much, and I just wanted to let you know that yesterday I had someone to call me to let me know that they were leaving, and you know what? I felt really good to let them go. That was really,
that's
really good for
me. There it
so
is.
They were, they were not leaving me. I was letting them go.
Yes, yes, and
so
that's the thing
again.
That I want people to. Okay, you're welcome. And what's your name?
My name is Maxine Frederick. You were
let me share something with you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let me share with you about people quitting, and this is very important. This is why I want to share this, and I want everybody to hear this, because it's all about how you look at when people quit your business. People quit things every day, and when you look at the definition and how most people are wired, the majority of people are quitters. They quit marriages. They quit school. They quit diets. They quit everything. That's just how people are wired. So what happens is if you take a look at just regular business in the world, let's take network marketing out of it for a minute and just take a look at your traditional businesses. 97% of all businesses fail. And it's usually because of the person and not because of the business. Well, what happens is when we get in network marketing, if we don't know those statistics that most businesses, whether it's a pop-up business around the corner, the dress store or the shoe store or the salon, you know, we don't realize that the majority of those businesses fail. And what happens is in network marketing, if we can understand that this is a business and these independent people that are coming into our businesses are like those independent businesses in the world. And the majority of them at some point will quit. But when you find those small few that are not quitters, the ones that are willing to go through the process and they're willing to commit their first, when they get in, I tell people, if you're not willing to give it 3 to 5 years, don't even get started. And those people that are willing to go through the ups and downs and you focus on them, I'm telling you, the ones who quit, it doesn't even matter because you understand that it's just a part of the process and it's a part of the business world. And that's just how people are and that's just how business is. So now it doesn't become personal when people quit. It becomes expected.
That is great. Thank
Makes
you
sense.
So very much.
You're welcome. You're very welcome.
That was a great answer, Pasha. At our house, we call it bless and release, right?
Just yes, absolutely.
Bless and release. They have to have their path, but having the statistics makes it so makes such perfect sense. It's part of doing business, right?
Oh, absolutely. So, it just comes up. It's called life.
Right? It's called life. So, Madison, I think we're ready to wrap up, are we, my friend?
Yes, ma'am, we are.
Wonderful. Well, Pasha, I can't thank you enough. I love that you talk fast because I have so many notes and we got so much into this hour together for the Ambitious Women. We look forward to getting to know you even better in the coming years. We're thrilled for you to be part of our community. And I just want to thank you so much for sharing so wisely what the words steps to take. We appreciate it tremendously.
Well, I tell you what, it's been my pleasure. And before I close, I just want to give everybody a quick golden nugget. We talked about Oprah, and I want to tell you a little nugget that she gave me years ago that changed my life, and it was how to say no nicely. I just want to cover this because I think this is important because it really helped me. And I learned how to say no, and I think that's a big challenge for a lot of women is we want to say no, but we just don't know how to say no, and we don't want to hurt someone's feelings. And what she taught me was how to say no nicely. And it goes something like this. If someone calls you and asks you to do something like, you know, travel to a meeting and you know they haven't done their part, which is the confirmations, you told them, hey, confirm 50 people and I'll come, and they've confirmed 5. And some women would jump on the road and go to that meeting when they know that that person didn't live up to their end of the agreement or whatever it is. But how do you say no nicely? You could say something like this. I would love to help you out, but I already – like, let's just say it's something that someone's asking you to do that you don't want to do. I would love to help out, but I already made commitments to whatever. Now, here's what I can do. If someone asks you to do a meeting, listen, I would love to help out, but as you know, we agreed that it was going to be 50 confirmation, but here's what I can do. See, and here's what I want you to get. Never tell someone what you can't do. Always tell them what you can do. So instead of saying to a person, no, I can't do that. No, of course, yeah, I'm definitely going to help you out. I would love to help you out. But I already, you and I agreed to this, or you and I agreed to that, but here's what I can do. I can call into the meeting, and I can Skype in, or I can do this. And now what happens is you're able to say no, but you're able to say no in a nice way to where it makes you feel good and it makes the person on the other end feel good. And I'm telling you, when I learned that tactic of being able to say no and instead of telling someone what I can't do, tell them what I can do, it was a game changer for me. So I just wanted to share that with everyone.
Oh, I love that. Thank you so much. It is a game changer, right? Making an agreement and then if they don't keep the agreement, don't give in, because it goes back to you teach people how to treat you. We want to make sure we get that right.
Absolutely.
Oh, I love it.
Absolutely. That sums it up.
Well, Pasha, thank you for those final words of wisdom. I feel like we could have this conversation for another 5, 6, 8 hours and learn so many more
I know,
things
right?
from you. But we all have our appointments to get to. And we just appreciate you. And Madison, thank you so much for always taking exceptional care of us. And have a wonderful day, ambitious women.
Absolutely. My pleasure. You guys have a wonderful day.
Mm-hmm.